This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We'll start out on this Tuesday morning with your markets from yesterday from the Chicago Board of Trade. Corn finished mixed, with December finishing at 374.5, up a quarter. March corn finished at 384, down 1.25, and May finished at 391.25, down 1.5. On to beans for January, they were lower. They finished at 909.75, down 7 cents. March beans finished at 922.75, down 6.25, and May beans finished at 935.5, down 6.25. Wheat finished mixed, but mostly lower. December finished at 514.75, down 4.75. March wheat finished at 525.25, down 6, and May wheat finished at 531.5, down 4.5. Soybean meal finished lower for December. It finished at 307.90, down $1.20. January soybean meal finished at $310 even, also down $1.20. And March soybean meal finished at $313.90, down 80 cents. On to soybean oil, they finished higher. December finished at $28.52, up 20 cents. January soybean oil finished at $28.76, also up 20 cents. And March soybean oil finished at $29.02, up 2 cents. We'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash grain reports.
This is Monday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Monday afternoon as the markets wait for Chinese grain purchases and tomorrow's USDA supply and demand report. In northern western Illinois country grain yields go to shell corn bids mostly 2 cents lower, 336 to 364, while soybean bids are mostly down 6 to 7 cents at 828 to 844. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to a penny lower at 340 to 363. Soybean bids are down 7 cents at 846 to 889. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 1 to 2 cents lower at 341 to 372, while soybean bids were mostly down 6 to 7 cents at 832 to 869. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 5 to 7 lower at 866 to 895. Basis is unchanged up to at 4400 to 1500 of the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 288 to 304, down $1.20 a ton, with basis steady at 2200 to 600 of the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 2 cents lower at 361 to 376, with basis unchanged at 2300 to 800 of the March. Illinois River Barge loading elevators coated to produce the corn bids 4 to 9 cents lower at 357 to 366, with basis down 2 to 7 at 2700 to 1800 the March. Soybeans ended down 10 to 12 cents at 850 to 860, with basis down 3 to 5 at 6000 to 5000 the January. New crop wheat prices were 3 cents lower at 502 to 512, with basis steady at 3500 to 2500 the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 2 to 3 cents lower at 378 to 379. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 9 to 12 cents, with quotations at 873 to 876. Soft wheat closed 6 cents lower at 549 to 550. Milo ended the day down 3 cents at 393 to 394. Contract bids producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 340 to 366. Soybeans at 8.25 to 8.57. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 344 to 367. Soybeans at 8.50 to 8.89. And in the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 356 to 378. Soybeans at 844 to 875. And June-July wheat at 493 to 532. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle finished lower, with December finishing at 117.57, down 32 cents. February live cattle finished at 121.20, also down 32 cents. And April live cattle finished at 123.60, down 2 pennies. Feeder cattle finished higher for January, with January finishing at 145.02, up 65 cents. March feeder cattle finished at 142.75, up 87 cents, and April feeder cattle finished at 143.45, up 60 cents. Moved on to lean hogs for December. They finished at 54.72, up 47 cents. February lean hogs finished at 66.82, down $1.05, and April lean hogs finished at 72.07, down 25 cents. We'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the latest cash livestock reports.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday afternoon's livestock report. Starting with the national daily direct afternoon hog report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 49 cents lower in a range of $43 to $48.56, with the weighted average carcass price of $47.35. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 21 to 32, 4 to 500 pounds at 26 to 35, 5 to 600 pounds at 29 to 38, over 600 pounds at 32 to 40. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and gilts at country buying points were steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from 25 to 34. Receipts for Illinois barrows and gilts totaled $30,939. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $111.50 to $115. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 271 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $72.65, which was 98 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading higher. Choice carcasses are $215.42, which was $1.13 higher, with select carcasses at $200.94, which is 44 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 119,000 compared to 119,000 for last week and 117,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 479,000 compared to 467,000 for last week and 462,000 for 1 year ago. Today we also have the Greenville Livestock Auction results, total receipts of 301. Special breeding stock sales saw active trade with good demand. Bred cows medium and large, third stage young, 11 head with an average weight of 985 and an average price of 1083.09. Bred cows, medium and large, third stage, middle age, 9 head with an average weight of 1115 and an average price of 608.30. 1 head with a weight of 1240 and a price of 1000. Bred cows, large, second stage, young, 24 head with an average weight of 1129 and an average price of 1638.08. 19 head with an average weight of 1297 and an average price of 1540.68. Bred cows, large, third stage, young, 46 head with an average weight of 1110 and an average price of 1672.89. 37 head with an average weight of 1265 and an average price of 1657.26. Bred cows, large, third stage, middle aged, 14 head with an average weight of 1397 and an average price of 833.99. Cow calf pairs, large, 1-2, middle aged, 4 head with an average weight of 1478 and an average price of 1215.28. 17 head with an average weight of 1705 and an average price of $1338.53. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Lawmakers will consider and are expected to pass the Farm Bill this week, or possibly the next. Long awaited by agriculture, the Farm Bill will continue to provide a much-needed safety net as the industry endures a depressed farm economy. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy lists the Farm Bill for a potential vote this week. The last votes in the House of Representatives are expected by Thursday afternoon, with no votes on Friday, according to the Hagstrom Report. Ranking Member of the House Agriculture Committee, Colin Peterson, has said he expects the House to consider the Farm Bill Wednesday, followed by a Senate vote on Thursday, though some say consideration of the bill could spill into next week, the final week of the current congressional session. Speaking to reporters last week, Peterson said almost all of the House Democrats are likely to vote for the bill. Growers are always looking for ways to increase their yield and profit potential, but environmental factors that chip away at the genetic potential of the crop make it more difficult. Michael Clements reports.
Arista Life Science is helping growers overcome those challenges with Unlock 5 crop life cycle strategies. Unlock 5 helps growers achieve higher yields and optimizes financial returns by unlocking the genetic potential of the crop at each stage of its crop life cycle. Dave Quartz is North American Product Development Manager, BioSolutions for Arista Life Science. He explains how Unlock 5 helps growers.
Unlock 5 is a program or a strategy, if you will, that helps growers achieve higher yields and optimize their financial returns by unlocking or mitigating, if you will, some of the things the crop comes up against during its crop life cycle. There are five key crop life cycle stages that Arista has identified that are critical times during a crop's growth during a year. Those include establishment, architecture, photosynthesis, reproduction, and sizing. All of those are independent of each other, and yet each one builds on the next to successfully, hopefully, grow a crop throughout the season.
Unlock 5 includes strategies and solutions to maximize yield throughout the crop's life cycle.
Unlock 5 includes targeted solutions at each one of the crop stages. They can be made up of individual products, multiple products, or sometimes they're sequenced application products. For instance, in the architecture stage of corn, V5, which is when we're kind of targeting architecture, we have a product known as Fortix, which is a plant health product that helps to mitigate some of the stresses that happen during that key time when maximum kernel rows are being determined. And then we also have an innovative nutrition product known as Raise 032 that also helps to increase the balanced uptake of essential plant minerals and helps the plant to increase its overall development, thus being able to withstand stresses that happen during that time period.
He says growers face decisions throughout the growing season when it comes to maximizing their potential, and that's what Unlock 5 helps growers achieve.
You know, every grower, I think, starts out trying with a plan that tries to lay out the groundwork to be successful, planning date, planning time, the right hybrid pesticide program that they plan on using, and the list goes on and on. There are certain things that they can do at different times, and that's part of what Unlock 5 is about, help them to make good decisions based on their life cycle of the crop.
Learn more about Unlock 5 at arista-na.com. Michael Clements reporting.
Weed suppression is always a major topic, and Palmer amaranth is the pigweed species that rightfully earns the most awareness from Midwest farmers. But don't forget that water hemp can be just as invasive and contains many of the same characteristics as Palmer. That's the take-home message from Brian Jinks, weed specialist at North Dakota University, during the Ag Horizons Conference in Pierre, South Dakota, on November the 26th. From the Dakotas through Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and across the Midwest, water hemp is becoming a huge problem, warns Jinks. He adds many farmers treat water hemp like red root pigweed, an invasive species in itself, but it's much more easier to control than water hemp. It looks a bit like red root pigweed, so people tend to treat it like that. My fear is that it will come back to bite us, Jinks says. Water hemp emerges throughout the growing season and is prone to herbicide resistance, even if growers use a residual herbicide or post-application herbicide. The weed emerges and thrives during the summer months. On top of that, Jinks says, the herbicides that we're applying post-emergence in soybeans aren't working on water hemp anymore, and the choices are becoming fewer and fewer. The difference between the two weeds are subtle. Water hemp has longer, narrower leaves than Palmer amaranth, which are wider at the base. Palmer amaranth also has piatoles longer than the leaf blade. The real difference between the two is that Palmer will grow quicker and may be a little taller, but the weed's characteristics are the same, Jinks explains. That means prolific seed production, quick growth, and the scary fast ability to overtake a field. In local news, the Hillsboro FFA hosted the Section 19 Dairy Foods Contest on Thursday, December the 6th. Participants identified types of cheese, judged real versus artificial dairy products, and identified milk issues. Hillsboro placed 7th as a team, and those team members were Will Spicer, Wesley Stockstill, Aaron Kistner, Caden Leibscher, and Logan Jarman. And just to remind you, if you bought fruit from the Hillsboro FFA for this year's fruit sale, that fruit should be coming in at the end of this week, so expect your fruit to be delivered sometime this weekend or next week. That's all I have for this Tuesday morning. This has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.